Hello, this is Mark Peacock, and welcome to the Travel Commons Podcast. This is Travel Commons Podcast number 61, recorded Sunday, January 27th, 2008. This is the podcast giving the voice of the traveler. It's more about the journey than the destination. Two topics on this edition of the Travel Commons Podcast: the Zen of Delays and Sneaking in a Vacation. This week, coming to you today from the Travel Commons studio outside of Chicago, Illinois, after trips to the Netherlands and Kansas City the first 2 weeks of the month, I had a rare week in town last week. Of course, with the Saab reporting morning temperatures of -5 Fahrenheit, a couple of day trip to LA or Phoenix wouldn't have been so bad. Hey, talking about January travel, though, you know, it means you're going to be talking about the weather. Everybody's been clobbered by the weather this month. You know, I got the same snow twice, driving through it at night in Kansas City, and then delayed flying into it the next morning in Chicago. I mean, if I had continued east, I would have had the chance to get grounded by that same storm in Boston when it dumped on Logan. But, you know, I decided to stay home the rest of that week. I'll tell you, traveling in January is also about knowing when to quit. This is the first Travel Commons episode from our new home at Boarding Area, a new portal for business travel blogs and podcasts from the team that runs Flyer Talk, Web Flyer, and Inside Flyer. You know, I'll tell you, some folks asked, and let me assure you, the move won't change the tone or the content of the podcast, for better or for worse, nor have I signed away content ownership or my domain name. You know, as I said, for better or for worse, Travel Commons is all me or mine. Whatever the appropriate pronoun, there are no editorial changes. The main reason I signed up really is to increase inbound traffic and hopefully gain more subscribers. Travel Commons has gotten completely lost in the morass that the iTunes podcast directory has become. I'll tell you, searching for business travel will return about 150 results, and it's some sort of weird potpourri of language training, leisure travel, and shopping podcasts, with only a handful that really are about business travel. You know, I'm hoping that Boarding Area helps solve that problem by providing a single site that people can come to with 8 high-quality business travel blogs and one podcast, me. Well, we'll see how it goes. And as always, I'm looking forward to expanding the audience for the conversations that we've been having since May of 2005. Well, there we go, back to our normal bridge music. You know, listening back to the last episode, while I liked the Christmas music and it was helping me get into the Christmas spirit, I don't know, I felt the whole episode was just, I don't know, just a tad bit too mellow. Anyhow, following up, during the last episode, we talked about Arnold Heines's search for a compact gym kit, especially shoes. Arnold lives in London, and his question was driven by the UK Department of Transportation's carry-on restrictions. Just one bag, and unlike in the US, it's truly just one bag. You get a 22-inch roller or a briefcase, but not both. We got some good suggestions posted on the website. Dan Graben weighed in first. How about racing flats? These are the shoes that distance runners wear for races, as opposed to daily training. They don't have much cushioning at all, maybe even less than the Tevas Mark mentioned, but they have a full upper, and that should take care of the blister problem. They're also extremely lightweight and should pack a lot flatter than most athletic shoes, since at least some models have a very soft upper. Just make sure you get flats, though, and not spikes. The hotel probably wouldn't appreciate having their treadmill torn to shreds. Now, Steve Frick of the Frick's World blog took a little different tact. Steve says, I work out on the road every week and I pack Converse high top Chuck Taylors, old school. They pack flat and have a solid sole. Now, I do more lifting than cardio, sometimes the elliptical, and they've held up well. Plus, you know, what other shoes can you find with flames on them? For those wanting to pick up a pair or at least see Steve's flaming shoes, he included a helpful link to the Zappos.com site, which I'll carry over into the show notes. Thanks to both Don and Steve for those great suggestions. However, some of the urgency around the question disappeared at the beginning of the year when Arnold received an email from BA. It said, we've got some great news. Thanks to new guidelines. Oh, I guess I should be saying this in a British accent, but I won't torture you with this. Thanks to new guidelines from the UK Department of Transport, we're increasing our cabin baggage allowance. As of 7 January 2008, you will be able to carry two pieces of hand baggage through security. Arnold forwarded the BA note to me. I thought it was interesting that BA didn't send it to other members of their executive club frequent flyer program, say somebody like me, who's a member and who's been actively avoiding BA flights that connect through Heathrow because of just these luggage descriptions. You know, they didn't even mention it in the last executive club mileage statement they sent me. You know, if not for Arnold forwarding the note, I would still think I could only carry on one bag. I think BA is really missing an opportunity here. You know, a January 13th New York Times article on the worst European airports was still talking about the UK's one bag rule. You'd think BA would be sending emails to every address in its database on this. I don't know. I mean, why is BA keeping relaxation of these restrictions a secret? Peter Rukavina from Charlottetown, Prince Edward's Island, wrote in with this interesting question. I'm about to get on a plane and fly from my home here in eastern Canada over the Atlantic to Berlin for what amounts to a one-day business meeting. Now, there are some who would equate this to an environmental crime against humanity. At the very least, it is going to undo the good that comes from leaving the car at home and walking to work every day. In this light, I'd be interested to know what the prevailing sense is among you in the travel all the time for business set about the environmental impact of your traveling. Is there any move toward reducing or eliminating travel because of the carbon-emitting downsides, or any move towards building offsetting of some sort into the system? You know, Peter's question is a good one and a timely one. I mean, and though this week's cold temperatures in Chicago don't lend to keeping global warming top of mind, it's an important topic and a difficult one because its solution will force us to make significant changes in how we live our lives. But for me and the travelers I've talked to about this, we've cut back travel as much as possible via conference calls, teleconferences, webinars, whatever, but have done it for really more personal and tangible reasons, increasing family time, improving work-life balance, expense reduction, and just plain disgust with the state of air travel. Now, while perhaps these are not all that altruistic, these reasons are much more immediate and close to home than the desire to be green, and really have driven me, at least, to cut all the travel that I can. Now, some airlines, including Virgin Atlantic, Continental, and SAS, have launched carbon offset schemes, allowing passengers to buy offset credits while purchasing their tickets. Though I'll tell you, there continues to be more than a little controversy about the true efficacies of these schemes. I'll put a link in the show notes to a Business Week article that ran an expose on the carbon offset scheme that all the celebrities at last year's Academy Awards show pounded their chest about. Now, the UK government's Stern report, which itself is not without a bit of controversy, but still as good of a data source that's out there, says that aviation CO2 emissions account for about 1.6% of global greenhouse gas emissions, though because they are released high in the atmosphere, they have more of an impact than that number might imply. Still, though, it seems that I can have more impact on greenhouse gases by switching from a car or a taxi to, say, the subway or an electric light rail for my trip to and from the airport, you know, at least until Boeing or Airbus come up with some more greener options. Which, when you think about this, kind of makes you think about those mileage runs that that everybody was taking last month at the end of the year to get them, push them over the next level of elite status. 2 days before the end of 2007, CBS Sunday Morning ran a segment on mileage runs. The news crew followed a Chicago lawyer, Jenny Zell, trying to squeeze in enough miles to stay elite on United. She said, "I have nightmares about one of my flights being canceled and being short a segment." I think Jenny needs a hobby. So anyhow, CBS follows her from O'Hare to Des Moines, Des Moines to Denver, Denver to Des Moines, and back to O'Hare. And in true mileage run fashion, she never leaves the airport. The comments, though, left on the CBS website were about 80% negative. One went, "I'm not a tree hugger by any means, but these selfish oafs are undoing any good that the rest of us can manage for the environment." Ouch, that was, just a little harsh and probably a bit misguided. I mean, most mileage runs are done with cheap tickets, which means the plane has empty seats. Now, I'm not sure how much additional greenhouse gas is emitted for each incremental passenger, but my guess is not a lot. However, if you're one of those, heckling SUV drivers for killing the planet with low mileage, you might want to think twice about that six city mileage run. Hypocrisy has a very, very sharp blade. Well, thanks again to everyone who contributes their thoughts, their stories, their audio comments. The Voice of the Traveler, the email address is, let's all say it together, comments, COMMENTS, at travelcommons.com. Or as always, you can post them on the website at travelcommons.com. The first topic on today's Travel Commons podcast is the Zen of Delays. Lori Hum, a Travel Commons listener in Richmond, Virginia, sent me a link to an article on Condé Nast's Portfolio.com site titled, "What I Learned on the Road This Year, Traveling for Business is a Zen Practice. Keep your head down and take good notes." Great title. I don't know if it's Zen, with Zen's emphasis on mindful acceptance of the present moment, or jujitsu with its training on using your attacker's energy against him, that sort of bend like a willow, don't break like an oak thinking. But keeping sane in today's business travel is all about finding ways to flow around the obstacles rather than breaking yourself upon them. This, of course, is completely antithetical to the concept of a road warrior, one who controls every aspect of their travel experience, from booking the right fare code to get a free first-class upgrade, to specifying the room number at their favorite hotel to get the best view in the biggest bathroom. But these days, control over your travel plans is a very tenuous thing. A couple of weeks ago, I was settling into my business class seat on United's flight from Chicago to Amsterdam. The plane was full, but not jammed. I collected a glass of champagne from a flight attendant, was finding a place to stash my pillow and blanket when I felt and heard a bang. This is not a good thing. We hadn't left the gate yet, so I wasn't too worried. Perhaps somebody was a bit rough in hooking up the tug or closing a luggage door. However, when I heard the captain key the mic, I started to worry. The captain, oddly enough, had felt the same bang. Good thing he's paying attention. He called down to the ground crew and asked them, what in the heck were they doing? Now, only then did they tell him that one of the baggage loaders had decided to take a shortcut with his luggage cart and drive under the plane. Unfortunately, he was a poor judge of height and didn't quite make it, hence the bang. The luggage cart hit the fuselage of the 767 hard. The captain called out maintenance, who didn't take long to figure out that the resulting ding in the aluminum skin wasn't going to stand up to a North Atlantic crossing. We packed up our belongings and shuffled back into O'Hare. All the flight attendants were just shaking their heads. None of them had ever heard of anything like this before. Now, I was traveling with a 24-year-old colleague. Now, he was an experienced leisure traveler, and indeed, he had just returned from a Christmas visit to Singapore, but was new to international business travel. We left the plane with no known departure time, no idea how we were going to get from Chicago to Amsterdam. What do we do now? He asked, his pupils dilating just a bit. Do we stay? Do we go home? Do we head over to the international terminal? Nope, I said. We go grab a sandwich and a beer and give United an hour to figure this thing out. I'll tell you, travel tip, beer makes this Zen thing a whole lot easier. Walking down the terminal, I rang up Amex's emergency number. She couldn't believe my story. Tomorrow night's United flight, though, to Amsterdam was full, which was actually good news. United had an incentive to get us out tonight rather than paying hotel rooms and then other carriers to take us the next day. But I booked two seats on a wide-open KLM flight just in case. Then I took a long pull on a tall beer. My colleague properly initiated into the Zen rites of travel. We eventually made it back to the red carpet club. I recognized some of our fellow passengers waving their arms, red-faced in frustration, but I'll tell you, it was... For them, it had to be, you know, sort of as satisfying as punching the air. I don't know, short of storming down to the tarmac and lynching the probably now fired baggage handler, tried to save 30 seconds. Yeah, you know, there was really nobody to blame. We just had to let events unfold and be ready for whatever showed up. And as the solution revealed itself, turned out not so bad. United ended up redeploying a 767 bound for Sao Paulo to our flight. Don't know what happened to the folks heading down to Brazil, but you know, I'll tell you what, I had enough to do to keep my own karma and my 24-year-old colleagues in alignment. Walking up to our gate, I heard my name being called. I'd been upgraded to first class to compensate for the inconvenience. The present moment was looking better and better. So 3 hours later, I was settling into my larger seat, collecting a better glass of champagne for the flight attendant, and listening to the captain say over the PA system, I don't know what that guy was thinking. But in flowing around the evening's obstacles, at least I ended up in, if not a better place, at least a more comfortable one. The second topic on today's Travel Commons podcast is sneaking in a vacation. You know, in past Travel Commons episodes, I've talked about the importance of taking advantage of travel to take a little bit of time to yourself. And this is counsel I give to all new folks when they start up on business travel. If you don't grab a little bit of something out of it for yourself, you're going to come to hate it really fast. In Travel Commons number 16, I slipped out of a conference in St. Louis to take a trip up to the top of the Gateway Arch, while in Travel Commons number 34, I grabbed a 20-minute vacation, walking barefoot on a Tampa beach before heading to the airport. While in Amsterdam a couple of weeks ago, I had a free afternoon after a client lunch, so I decided to walk around a bit. Now, it wasn't the nicest weather, mid-40s and rain, but it's January, and you're not far from the North Sea, so I don't know, what do you expect? I only had a couple of hours between lunch and a client dinner, so I picked just a couple of things to see. the Van Gogh Museum, and the Red Light District. Now, you might think that swinging so quickly between such highbrow and lowbrow locations would give me, I don't know, some sort of cultural bends, but on the contrary, it was a very good mix. The Van Gogh Museum had a bunch of exhibits that I'm sure were all very interesting, but with not much time, I focused on the second floor exhibit of Van Gogh's work. That's why I went to the Van Gogh Museum. It was nicely laid out, told the story of his rather troubled life with probably the right balance, didn't whitewash his mental problems, but, you know, didn't do a Dr. Phil drill down on him either. And I walked out with a better understanding of the man and his art. You know, I mean, not bad for an hour. Now, the Red Light District reminded me of New Orleans' French Quarter, but with tourists focused on finding something other than Cajun food and jazz. I did stroll down one of the side streets for a bit of window shopping, but more out of curiosity. Trust me, more out of curiosity than any purchasing intent. However, now the coffee houses, can I do air quotes around that? Coffee houses. Now, those intrigued me. I wandered into what turned out to be an upscale head shop next to one of the coffee houses. Nice display cases, autographed pictures of a surprising number of American celebrities, and, you know, just all sorts of actually very upscale-looking paraphernalia. Now, as I took a lap around the shop, I overheard the clerk talking to a customer about the kinds of marijuana that they had in stock in the coffee house next door. And it was very interesting because he ended up describing each one's sort of unique taste and characteristics in the type of language that, you know, I typically hear in the local cigar shops here in Chicago. I thought about going next door and checking some things out, having that unique Amsterdam experience. But as I said before, I had just come from a business lunch and was dressed in a jacket and wool slacks. Now, looking through the coffee house window, I definitely looked a little different from most of the people I could see. I was also concerned a bit about retaining the smell of smoke in my clothes. Now, we all know marijuana has a rather unique smell, and we all know how regular tobacco cigarette smoke stay with you after you leave a smoky bar. I could just imagine the smell that would stay with me coming out of one of these coffee houses. Especially since I was planning to wear the same jacket home on my flight the next morning. I could just imagine the questions from the customs guy in O'Hare. So I took a pass and walked down the street, walked into a bar for a beer instead, and got covered with cigarette smoke. Ended up being a good choice, though. The next afternoon in O'Hare, when I landed, I saw a customs beagle, one of the little trained dogs, just going crazy over some guy's bag. I don't know. I think it would have been tough to nonchalantly try to pass through the green customs lane with Bucky the Beagle there clawing at my pant leg. Okay, that's it. That's the end of Travel Commons Podcast number 61. I hope you all enjoyed this podcast and hope you decide to stay subscribed, especially any new folks visiting us, kind of coming in on some of the links from the boarding area blogs. The bridge music on today's show is from IOTA PromoNet. IOTA stands for the Independent Online Distribution Alliance. I think I got that one right. Long name. Tight acronym. The first song was New Love by The Becks, the second M4 Part 2 by Fonts, and the last Central Calm by Skywards. Check out the show notes for links to these. Hey, and if you've got a story, thought, comment, gripe, the voice of the traveler, send them along, text or MP3 file to comments, COMMENTS at travelcommons.com, or post them on our website at travelcommons.com. Thanks to everyone who has taken the time to send in emails, audio files, or post comments on the website. And hey, remember to check out the new website. Now, we're still tweaking some stuff. I think the font size is a little small. I got to change, and I got to work with the guys to adjust some of the stuff down the right-hand bar. And I think also the text color might be just a little light. But anyhow, check it out, because actually this month I've actually been blogging a bit more than usual between shows. So check it out for, you know, some of the quick thoughts, words of wisdom, mind sparks that I don't know what to call them, that don't quite make it into the shows. But hey, as always, thanks for stopping along. Thanks for listening. And till we talk again, take care, safe travels, and as always, thanks for stopping by the Travel Commons. Bye now.
On the road, life is hell. Strange bed in a lonely motel. But one thing needs my mind. The warm woman that I left behind. From California to Carolina, she calls me up and there's nothing finer. And when the tears start falling, crying into the phone, within my heart you'll find my pictures.